Good afternoon.
Hi, Elias.
And what shall we discuss?
Lots of good stuff.
Excellent.
It's great to talk to you again. One of the things I wanted to ask was a little experiment I was doing this morning, and I've done it once before, was attempting to alter my perception of myself while staring in the mirror. And what I noticed is that my vision gets a little blurrier, but then I can actually see the images begin to change. And what I was doing in this case was, we had talked about that incident where I was perceiving myself as being taller. And so that was sort of the thought behind this exercise. And so I was perceiving myself as being thinner in the mirror, and it certainly looked like that the actual perception was changing.
Yes.
And so it made me think that I keep thinking that there's this real objectively solid body that has to change, and this is now starting to sound kind of silly as I repeat this, because it's what you've mentioned many, many times, but it's simply the choice of the perception that you continue to choose.
Correct. And your perception actually changes your reality. Therefore, when you perceive yourself to be taller, you are taller. When you perceive yourself to be thinner, you are thinner. When you perceive yourself to be anything different, you are that different. This is the aspect that most individuals think of as imagination and then dismiss it. And then naturally, whatever your perception was prior to what you see, you immediately revert back to it. And that validates that it is only your imagination that is actually fooling you into thinking that something changed. When in actuality, you do actually change your reality through your perception in any given moment.
And I've noticed, as I continue to become more aware of what I'm doing, that one of the perceptions underlying my body image is that when I can feel my stomach, can feel the presence of my stomach, I at the same time create this image of what it looks like or what size it is. And this is a habitual reaction. In other words, so I feel the presence of the stomach and I feel, oh, getting a little heavy. And that occurs automatically. And that is one of the perceptions that I guess that would be an example of a concentration that just occurs without me thinking about it. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so is it simply a matter of replacing one concentration with the other and just developing
yes.
a new habit?
Yes. Which is simpler than most of you think.
Yeah. Although the secondary part, I was going to say a lot of this I had been experimenting with years ago, but the harder part, I believe, is the part of loosening the automatic reactions and your hold on outside images so that you can actually choose the perception that you want continuously.
Yes. But the familiar does automatically reoccur, but that is what you are accustomed to. And not only that is what you are accustomed to, but that is what you believe.
Right.
Therefore, it's a matter of altering what you believe, which is merely another terminology for altering what you trust.
Right, and I can feel or I can sense as I go through my day and I confront the usual imagery of my life that there's a weakening of my belief in the power of that outside imagery, and it's quicker and easier for me to revert back to a, you know, more of a sense of trust and power, my own choice. Just something that is just sort of building.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so that's an area I just started practicing with, so I don't have too much on that. Wanted to tie in a few different topics. One was we had talked about diet in the past. And I did a session with Tomkin on this, and he suggested that I have a belief surrounding particularly wheat-based products. And so we came up with some suggestions on not just the diet, but also on appreciating the food that I'm eating and the other, you know, the flavors, the other parts of the experience as a way to change my energy around that food.
Very well.
Taking in.
And is that being successful?
Well, I'm not sure what success is here because it's certainly something I don't see any harm in, and certainly it's positive from the experience in itself. out of any come on health.
Very well. That would be successful.
Okay. I would say from a symptoms point of view, is my irritation that I feel in my back area very rarely goes to a headache, but it still does occasionally. But I do feel irritation, particularly in the spine, on long drives, long plane rides. When I'm home, generally, if I'm off from work, I don't notice any symptoms whatsoever. And then when I'm either, again, the long drive or sometimes at work in prior weeks, I've noticed it. But more lately, I've been allowing myself to move around more, and that helps considerably.
I would agree. And in that is a simple alteration. And once again, is connected with your perception. Your perception when you are engaging a long drive or a long plane ride is that you are stuck.
Uh-huh.
And that you cannot move, and therefore you create this tenseness in your body, and you create a discomfort. But in other places, you recognize that you can move, and therefore you don't experience that same type of discomfort. I would express that it is a simple alteration, but once again, one of perception. But in this, you can simply alter your perception by recognizing that regardless of where you are or what situation you place yourself in, you can move. on a long car drive, you can stop for 2 or 3 minutes and move.
Mm-hmm.
On a plane ride, you can move yourself out of your seat and move around. Many individuals don't, but you can.
Yes, yes.
It may be slightly more challenging with a plane because there is an additional factor,
mm-hmm.
and that there is that perception that you are confined.
Right. Or that there's other people in consideration.
I would express that is not as strong. There is a slight factor of that, but it is not as strong. What is more influencing is the perception that you are not allowed to move about, and even if you are allowing yourself to move about, there is that other factor in relation to being confined that you are, regardless, in the plane and you cannot exit it.
Now, these perceptions are part of a broader area that I've begun focusing on as well. And so I think perhaps addressing them is even part of this broader area, which is the idea of noticing when I'm making absolute evaluations.
Ah, excellent.
Or assessments. And reducing that.
That is excellent, for there are many of those.
And I could see how that changes the experience, where it becomes more fluid, more of... You know, as they say in some talks, the experience of just being awareness rather than feeling like someone.
That does shift your perception, although I would express that dependent upon what direction you are moving in or what you want to accomplish, that direction can also incorporate limitations.
You're referring to the awareness?
Yes. Viewing yourself or perceiving yourself as only awareness, which I understand. Stand in your present time framework sounds more enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it can be considerably limiting. You are continuing to occupy a physical reality. Therefore, in engaging in that type of a direction, what you are doing is limiting yourself, for you are choosing to create an additional factor of separation. I'm aware it doesn't seem as if you would be, for it seems that if you were perceiving yourself to be merely consciousness, or if you were merely focusing on yourself as awareness, that you would be more aware of being interconnected, but not necessarily, for you are, in a manner of speaking, creating an additional layer of separation in relation to the reality that you occupy.
And would that be a conceptless, nameless reality?
No, this reality.
Okay.
The reality that you are participating in. You create an additional layer of separation between yourself and the rest of this physical reality, for you are not then participating in it in relation to its design.
Okay.
Are you understanding?
I am. I will say it's surprising. Although there are, let's say, certain philosophies that are popular now, of which the awareness is certainly one, or the idea that you don't exist, and as long as you just see that you don't exist, everything's fine.
I am aware, and this is the reason that I expressed it is dependent upon what direction you are moving in. Now, I would express that if you chose to be a monk and devoted your existence in physical focus to the exploration of awareness or consciousness, that would be a different type of expression. For in that, you are recognizing that you are a part of a physical reality, but you are specifically devoting your life, so to speak, to a very particular exploration in that physical life. But if you are intending to continue to engage physical reality in the capacity that you are engaged with it, with other individuals, with daily life, with your job, with your family, with anything that is a part of your physical reality that you engage now, if you are moving in that direction, then moving in an expression of attempting to perceive yourself from the perspective of awareness alone, then you create this aspect of separation between yourself and the rest of your world.
Okay. I don't think we need to go into it. I was actually interested in that, your perspective on that, but it's not an area that I'm really attracted to.
Let me express to you, my dear friend, there are many, many, many different manners in which you can be considerably self-aware and, in your terms, enlightened and spiritual, and continue to engage your physical reality in manners that are fun, interesting, and fulfilling.
I think we're doing that now. Thank you.
Precisely.
Okay, so let me go into the next question here that I had, which is, oh, this is actually a big area. It was one of the other conversations I had with Tomkin was about our intentions and the conditions that we put on our intentions. And he made the comment that the more conditions you put on the intention, usually the longer it's going to take to be realized. In other words, and what I mean by conditions would be that if I want to experience, let's say, meet someone personally, and that is my goal, to have a relationship. If I then put conditions on that it has to be in this location or this type of individual or this specific individual, each of those makes it longer to be realized. Is that correct?
I would agree. I would express that it is dependent upon the situation.
Right.
But in some capacities, it can benefit you to be very specific. But I would express that, yes, if you are placing more criteria or guidelines on what your intention is, you do narrow the availability of what you create, and therefore it is likely that it would incorporate more time to generate that. It is not a rule per se, but it is more likely.
Where I am today, I feel a strong urge to not put a lot of particulars on my intention because I feel I get sucked into expectations.
Yes. That is very common.
And if I can just concentrate on the experience and what that means or feels like to me as being my intention, I don't really have to concern myself with what's going on around me at the moment or what someone else is doing or...
Correct. And in that, it allows you to be more open to many different avenues that you may choose to present to yourself what you want in your intention.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, many times, what you want in your intention does not necessarily configure itself in precisely the manner that you expected, but it is no less what you wanted.
Right. Well, we've talked about that before.
Correct.
Okay. A question about our good friend Lester Levinson.
Yes.
Going through some of his writings, he seems to have come to two of his earlier conclusions that got him on his path, so to speak, were that he was constantly trying to change the world and change things, and so he came to the conclusion that he was a victim to everything he was trying to change, and so he that was it. He had enough of that. And secondarily, although he wanted to be this, and this is, these are both easily line up with your ideas, in fact, very, very strongly, I believe, is secondarily he came to the idea that he was pursuing the outside sources continuously in order to try to be happy. And so he came to the conclusion that, you know, the feeling of being happy is something that occurs within him. And so it's not necessarily outside sources that are going to cause it. And so he thought that he was going to be happy when he was loved. But he came to the conclusion that, no, he was actually happy when he was loving.
Yes. Yes.
And so then he decided to put that into effect the best he could. Is loving the right word? I didn't know if appreciation was a better word. Loving seems a little vague to me.
I would disagree. I would express that that is an accurate word. But in this, if you are expressing that actual love, that is appreciation, but it is more than appreciation. And in that, loving is the action of love. Therefore, I would express that that is very accurate.
And can you help me? I have some confusion about loving as far as that action. I mean, I think I know what it is. It just, I want to be clear.
And how would you define it? What would you express? What does loving appear to you to be?
Well,
what would that action be?
I could take the scenario of where it would be appreciation without any expectation on it whatsoever. So just appreciation for whatever the subject is, without not doing the appreciation for, you know, because you think you're going to get something in it for a return or something like that.
Correct. Now, what would you say would be an example of that action?
Well, if I can think of when they haven't been, like, for example, if I think of my kids, in the general sense, you know, not that my interaction is loving with them all the time, because it's not, but when there are specific instances, or in when I think about them in the general sense of my kids, I can feel that.
Very well. And what would be an example of a display of it?
A display of love?
Yes.
I guess that would be an action that would be that displays that appreciation with no expectation.
I would agree. That is an excellent intellectual answer. How would you configure that? How would that appear?
That's where I'm not sure. Like, I could say, okay, I'm going to go be loving from this moment on, and then the first annoying thing that happens, and I'm going to be struggling.
Now, let me express to you a reminder again. You are emotional beings, and therefore, you have feelings, and you do not only have one set of feelings. You incorporate feelings in a broad spectrum. And those that you consider to be positive and negative. Now, if you are expressing in what you think of as a negative feeling, does that mean you are not loving?
I guess you're saying no.
But love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion.
Is it the way of paying attention?
It is the expression of knowing and appreciation. If you appreciate something, let's say not an individual, if you appreciate an object, do you necessarily incorporate an affection for that object?
Well, the first object that came to mind was my car. I might be affectionate for my car. I guess if I think of an activity that I appreciate and love, like skiing or mountain biking, I wouldn't say I'm affectionate towards it, no.
Very well. Let me incorporate a different example. For there are very many expressions that you appreciate and you do attach emotional expressions to. For the feelings, remember, are the signals. And the emotional expression is a communication expressing to you an identification of what you are experiencing or what you are doing in the moment. But generally speaking, you generate emotional communications in two capacities. One, to define to yourself what you are doing, or to validate what you are doing. And as you are aware, those emotional expressions or communications alert the body consciousness to generate signals, which are the feelings. And with many expressions of appreciation, you accompany that with either a validation, usually for the most part it is a validation, or at times you generate an emotional expression that is merely identifying to you what you are doing in that moment. Therefore, let me incorporate a different type of example to illustrate the appreciation. You have an appreciation for the ability of your species to invent what you consider to be amazing expression. You appreciate the ability of humans in their creativity and their inventiveness to generate expressions such as technology that creates new explorations and new innovative expressions in your world and in your life. Now, you do not necessarily feel excited about that at any given moment or affectionate
right.
towards it. You do not necessarily generate a feeling with that appreciation, but the appreciation is very real. Now, add to that your innate knowing of the abilities and capability of what you perceive as mankind, that generates the equation that equals love, knowing, and appreciation.
Okay. So I can use...
But that does not necessarily also include a feeling. Now, in relation to an expression or a display of that love or that loving, which would be the action of it, you would be prompted to display that by generating some type of support or encouragement in relation to that subject. And that can be expressed in a myriad of different capacities. In this, that is what I am expressing. Now, does that mean that your love of humanity and their abilities or capabilities is diminished if you become angry at a person? No, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you stop being loving in relation to that subject? No, of course not. Therefore, it is a matter of recognizing that emotional expressions and feeling signals are not an enhancement or a detriment to love or loving.
Okay.
They are merely expressions of you in relation to whatever you are doing.
Right. And so Lester talks about that once he came to the conclusion that he was happiest when he was loving.
Yes.
He began a process of reviewing the people in his life, the situations in his life, and again, a twofold process here, kind of dissolving what he wanted to change with those people or situations, and then at the same time, seeing if he could love those people and situations, including like the doctor that he, at the time, had was very upset with.
And that is a considerably aware perception for Adam. This is not an expression of affection, which is what most individuals define as love.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not love. And therefore, that is an example, an expression of expressing that loving and also acknowledging and honoring self. What I would express to you is that this action is very similar to acceptance.
Yes.
For I have expressed over and over and over again that acceptance does not require agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like something. You don't have to agree with something to accept it. In actuality, you can considerably disagree. You can interpret any opinion that you have, and that has no bearing on whether you can accept an expression or not. They can coexist, but this is a difficult concept for most individuals. And in this, he is combining two tremendously key, important factors and concepts. One is that of not changing the outside.
Yeah, that's been, it's exactly what you've been saying, but.
That you don't choose for other individuals or establishments or institutions, you don't control outside sources. You don't change them. And it is not an expression or a situation of wanting them to change to match you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tremendously key point, for I would express that even to this moment, most of the individuals that I engage conversation with and have engaged conversations with throughout this time framework that I have been engaging all of you, in your terms, in all of these years, most individuals do not grasp that point yet. They continue to move in the direction of wanting the outside sources to change to match what they want. Now, they express intellectually and in words that they know they can't change the outside source. But here is the loophole that they create. They cannot change the outside source, but they want the outside source to change itself to match them, or to match what they want.
I think that is how they'll get the feeling they want.
Yes, and that is the direction of the concentration. And how they configure that in relation to the concept of you create your reality is they continue to convolute themselves with the idea that they are paying attention to themselves, they are concentrating on themselves, and because they are concentrating on themselves and they are concentrating on their own energy, they are magically almost hypnotically influencing the outside source to generate those changes to match what they want. And the point is, no, you don't do that. And I have expressed that for more than 20 years with all of you. You can't do that because each and every one of you has choice. Not only you, but every other individual that occupies your planet, you all innately possess that right of choice. And because you have choice, no other being can choose for you. They cannot create your choices for you. In the same manner, you cannot create the choices for other individuals, which by extension moves into institutions and different larger expressions or groups of individuals. You don't choose for them.
Elias, I think the situation is one of confidence.
Definitely.
At some point, you get so confident that you can create what you want one way or another that you don't care to define it. Or
it is a matter of yes, confidence, which is you actually trusting yourself, and in that confidence you stop questioning. You know what your ability is, and you begin living intentionally. Rather than automatically.
That's where I feel I'm moving into. And
I'm tremendously encouraging of. And I would express that this individual was expressing these two base key points. One, address to what you can do and what is fulfilling by recognizing your own choices and therefore recognizing your power rather than continuing to concentrate on what is not your choice and therefore disempowering yourself and victim. And the other, which is that aspect of expressing loving, which does not mean affection.
I think I can get a sense of that love when I think of, when I consider this whole process.
Yes, yes. That is another excellent example. And in moments, you might generate an emotional expression in relation to the subject of what you love or what you are loving. But it is not a continuous expression. It is expressed in moments as a validation of what you are actually doing, that you are accomplishing that, that you are doing that.
Okay. I wanted to move on to another example from good old Lester, which was, this was later on in his life when he was talking about basically living, how he'd give an example of how he lived, which was he lived in New York and he decided that he would like to vacation in L.A. And at this time he was not, I guess, living with less money or less dependent on money than in the past. And so he decided he would vacation over the holidays in L.A. When the time came, he packed his suitcase, walked out the door, ran into someone who he says owed him money. He used that money to buy a ticket to L.A., a plane ticket. Flew to L.A., ended up calling a friend who offered an apartment to stay. When he got there, then he realized he needed a car, thought of another friend who he called him, and this person offered him his car. And it was basically a sequence of events where when it occurred to him that he wanted something or needed something, he considered it as done.
Correct.
And then followed his impulse, and it was fulfilled.
And in that, there are two very important factors, which I have expressed to you and to many other individuals. One is being open to opportunities without looking for them. That is an example of it. And using your resources. Use what you have, knowing that you always, always create more. Therefore, what will you create more of? More of what you do want or more of what you don't want? It actually is very simple. But in that, this is a beautiful example of um, engaging opportunities without looking for them. He did not sit down previously and map out all of those actions. He was open to opportunities presenting themselves because he had expressed that intention and expressed the confidence or the believing in himself to do it. And that it did not require a plan, that it did not require all of these prerequisites, and regardless of how many factors he or any other individual could logically express, he needed money, he needed a ticket, he needed a place to lodge, he needed the transportation, need. Or, this is what I intend to do, this is what I am doing, I believe that not I can do it, but I am doing it. And then being open to those opportunities to allow him to accomplish without looking for them. You don't have to look for them. And when you do look for them, you are creating criteria.
Now, what about the factor of time here? Because normally when we think about intentions, each one of these steps, maybe I would have been able to do, but it might have taken me a month or two.
Once again, that is a matter of what your perception is. Are you confident with yourself? Is that a genuine perception? Do you actually believe that you can create what you want intentionally? Or do you believe that you require a plan? But also, there is another factor, which is significant, and that is being aware of your own natural flow. Some individuals may be expressing in a natural flow, in not planning, and being more spontaneous, and it may be easier for them to allow themselves to move in that direction. The principle is the same of being open to opportunities without looking for them, being confident in self. Those principles are the same, but your method in how you do them may be different dependent upon each individual's own guidelines and their natural flow. Some individuals in their natural flow require much more structure, and therefore they may be much more inclined or comfortable in including some element of planning. but also allow themselves to be open to opportunity without looking for it. And being confident that they can accomplish what they want to accomplish and know that they are doing it, even if they are not aware of the mechanics or are unsure of how they are doing it. It matters not. They're not concerned with that.
Okay. That was a lot.
I would express that your pal has profound information that you are accessing.
Yeah, yes. This was a great example.
I'd agree.
Well, thank you very much, Elias. Really appreciate it.
You are very welcome, my dear friend. I shall greatly be anticipating our next discussion. Quite stimulating. In wondrous encouragement to you. And glorious lovingness, as always. Au revoir.
Goodbye.